Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, Sherry. Thank you. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Good to see you here. Good to be here as always.
It's great to be back. We have a lot of exciting stuff today.
Yes.
If you don't know Sherry, Sherry's been a Zen student and teacher for many, many years. Accumulated lots of wonderful wisdom, which she's going to share with us today. Whew!
Hang on. Buckle your seatbelt.
Buckle your seatbelt. Sherry has a new website also, which is www.sherryhuber.com, and that's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. So check that out if you want to learn more about Sherry and what she's doing. Today we have a special show.
Yes, we do.
We're going to be focusing on email questions. We've had lots of wonderful questions from all of our listeners all across the country, and so we won't be taking your calls this week. And Sherry, you'll be back on Tuesday, May 27th, and we'll be taking your calls then.
Yeah, this is a good thing for us because, blessedly, we've had so many calls in each of the shows that we've done that we haven't been able to take the email questions, and we would like to have the opportunity to do that.
Exactly.
So people don't give up. They think that we're lying to them when we say, just email us out and you'll never hear anything about it for the rest of your life.
Right. You'll just be wondering how to solve this problem.
Yeah,
you know?
A real Zen letting go experience. email your questions and comments and never hear a word. Into the void.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Sherry, you'll be on the East Coast for a couple weeks.
Yes, I will.
In Chicago.
Well, first I'm going to stop by Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health in beautiful Lenox, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And then on to Chicago for actually we're going to do an evening and a day-long workshop at Transitions Bookstore.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday there's a Zen workshop, a Sangha sort of event, a practice kind of day on Saturday.
Great.
Then I get to go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, one of my favorite places, where I'll be again at the Unitarian Church. I think this is my third year there. It's a very fun place to be.
Great.
And then we'll go on to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, and on the Wednesday evening, there'll be a talk that anybody can attend, and we would invite you to do that. And then we have a retreat Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Great.
And then we all fly home.
Back to California.
Yes.
And maybe it'll be sunny here again.
That would be lovely.
That'll be, a miracle.
You know, I really like it when I go back east and the weather here is better than the weather there. You know, it's rough on a Californian when it's springtime and it's sunny skies and gorgeous there and socked in and cold and rainy and miserable here. Although we can never complain about the rain.
Exactly.
Yeah, we always need it.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
True.
It seems like we've gotten
plenty.
Plenty.
Way more than any Californian would ever want or need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you'd like to call our show when Sherry gets back on Tuesday, May 27th, you can reach us at 650-723-9010. And again, your email questions are always welcome, and we're going to be addressing those today. You can send your email questions to openair@kzsu.org. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Dear Sherry, as a private piano teacher, I have difficulties with adult beginners who criticize themselves unmercifully, frequently berating themselves out loud all through the lesson. Mm. My impulse is to suggest that an accepting, forgiving attitude toward oneself is the best atmosphere for learning, and while they agree, it rarely changes their behavior. This is the point at which I get stuck. Because I realize after years of experience that I can't change them, that some of them will persevere in spite of their self-beatings, and that I want to find the door into acceptance so I can continue to teach them. I usually end up feeling like I'm lecturing them instead of supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
My need for people to act the way I wish I were acting myself, for example, compassionately accepting, is an issue in many of my relationships. I would appreciate any light you can shed.
Well, can't we all find ourselves in that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the challenge with that is that there I am faced with someone else's, what we talk about as self-hatred, and it drives me to the same reaction that they're having, which is often true with us with anything. I'm around somebody who's really negative, and my response is to be really negative about their behavior and about them.
Mm.
I'm around somebody who gossips. And what do I want to do? I want to get to the nearest friend and tell them about what a dreadful gossip this person is. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful for personal awareness because we are always doing what we are struggling with other people for doing.
Hmm.
Always.
Can you say that again or say more about that?
If we're in a struggle over somebody's behavior, it is, in my experience, always the case that we are doing in that moment of struggle exactly what we are having so much trouble with them for doing.
I see.
That's why we don't want them to do it, because it puts us in the same place. It doesn't. I mean, that's the way it looks. So
right.
If you wouldn't be so negative, I wouldn't have this negative reaction.
Yeah.
I wasn't negative before you got here, so it must be you.
Yes.
In fact, I was negative. And, well, if it were you and me, I was negative before you were born. So it is me. It is my negativity. It's just that I can fool myself. I can hide it. I can distract myself. I can pretend that it's not going on until I see it outside. And I'm doing little quote marks here in
with
the studio.
Your hands. Yes.
Because it isn't outside of me. I'm projecting that onto you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even, if we just stick with negative, I don't know that you're really being negative. The way you're talking is what I call negative.
Yes.
You could be sharing your most your innermost feelings. You could be being really honest. You could be vulnerable and intimate. You could be all kinds of things. You could be actually being positive because you have the ability to be so negative that this looks positive compared to what you could be doing.
Yes.
So I'm projecting that onto you from my own experience. That's why always we are having the experience that we are struggling with somebody else having because we're projecting it onto them.
I see. It's so intolerable within me that I cannot stand it in someone else.
That's right. And as soon as I see it in you, I go to that place inside myself. So you're going along, and this is a slowed down, we would never see or hear any of what I'm describing inside of ourselves. But I'm going along, and probably it takes me a while to get what's happening.
Yes.
And slowly, my energy is changing. Okay, as this struggle is beginning. First of all, I'm denying that it's going on. I don't want to feel this way. I'm really uncomfortable, but I'm not conscious of any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep talking, and I'm getting more uncomfortable, and I really want to get out of there, and I don't like this, and I don't think I like you, and I'm really tired of this, and whatever else I've got going. And then all of a sudden, a thought will go through my mind. He is so negative. Well, I have gone through that process for who knows how long before the label got placed on it. And of course, we're conditioned that the label gets placed on him.
Yes.
The label doesn't come through, I'm being so negative. Now, after the label comes through, oh, he's so negative. It's very likely that another label will come through that says, well, you're the one who's being negative if we have that kind of programming.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're so negative and you're judgmental and all he's doing is blah, blah, blah. So it's the same process, whether it's unconscious in me or conscious in me, whether I'm having the experience and owning it or whether I'm projecting it out onto you. It's all the same process. So here's this poor piano teacher and the student comes in and people are conditioned to be cruel and judgmental and hateful toward themselves. That's my whole point. That's why I rave on endlessly about this. People will say to me, Sherry, you're so extreme. You know, for instance, with myself, I can be a little hard on myself once in a while, but hatred? No, that's going too far. It is hatred. And the only reason that we don't hear it that way is that we're not listening. So as soon as your ears get tuned in and you become aware, people talk to themselves in really ugly ways almost all the time. Many, 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 let us stay just short of most, although in my heart of hearts, I believe that it is true that yes. most people talk to one another in really ugly, hateful ways much of the time. Perhaps not strangers, but our loved ones, yes. those that we are close to.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a culturally conditioned way of being with a human being. Okay, it came at us when we were very little.
From our parents.
From our parents. It came at them, from their parents, from teachers, from adults. It just gets passed along generation after generation. So we grow up doing to ourselves and to one another what was done to us. We don't hear it. We don't recognize it. So this person now recognizes it.
Yes.
And it's overwhelming. Once you hear yes. it for what it is, it's horrifying.
Yes.
So here's this person, probably a very, nice, good, decent, upstanding citizen, going to do something difficult, challenging,
yes.
commendable.
Yes.
Learn to play the piano. And all this person is getting is a barrage of negativity.
Yes.
So catching on to that is a very good thing. Now, this person is going through this, being subjected to this barrage of self-hatred. I, as the piano teacher, am getting more and more miserable. Okay? Being in that place. I don't want to hear this. This is awful. It's depressing. It's so negative. I can't stand it. I want this person to stop. Well, the person isn't going to stop because he or she is conditioned toward this. The person doesn't even know that it's going on.
Mm.
Probably if the piano teacher, I'm definitely not encouraging this as a behavior, but if a recorder were set up and at the end of the hour, the student were given a tape of this, very likely the student would be horrified. Oh, my gosh.
Of what the student said to themselves.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I had no idea. Now,
yes.
a lot of people being handed that tape would say have the reaction, yes, and that's true. I'm a loser. I'm a dunderhead.
Yes.
I'm untalented, always have been, always will be. It's true.
Yes.
Now we've moved into another whole area.
Right.
Okay, so that first level is seeing that this is going on, seeing my reaction to it. And then, can I be all right with the fact that the person who is doing this, as I do this to myself, because that's the one we don't want to be reminded of.
Yes.
We don't want to be made aware of the fact that I do this to myself, too.
Yes.
I just want that person to stop.
Yes.
If that person would stop, then I wouldn't have to be aware of what I'm doing to myself.
Uh-huh.
So now I got all that. And can I be all right? Can I? Here's the awareness challenge. Can I be what I want that other person to experience? So can I for an hour or whatever it is, be there accepting, caring, supportive, encouraging, positive, if you will, as that person is, however he or she is?
Wow. So independent of whatever's going on with this other person.
Yes. Because what the person doesn't need, and the piano teacher indicates this, what the person doesn't need is another lecture on what you're doing wrong now. Okay?
by calling yourself wrong.
That's right. So you're in there trying to learn the piano, and you're talking to yourself in this hateful way, and I, as the piano teacher, point out to you how wrong it is of you to be doing this, and what's your conclusion? Well, then I'm right. You see, I said that I'm worthless, and you just confirmed it, because here's yet another thing.
Yes.
I can't even beat myself up appropriately.
Yes.
So that's the challenge for the person who has the awareness. Can I stay in conscious, compassionate awareness and accept that this is going on? If I can, then the other person has a chance of seeing it.
Yes.
If I leave that place to give lectures and have better ideas about how the person should be, well, that's just like what they've received all of their lives. So exactly. What is different about that? Now I get a lecture from my piano teacher, like I needed that. But if the piano teacher not only can teach piano, but also is a conscious, compassionate, aware, accepting presence, now this – now, you want to talk about
now
your money's
talking.
Worth.
This, you're paying this person.
Yeah, this is, you know, you pay your piano teacher and you learn to play the piano and you learn how to approach yourself in a compassionate, caring way. This is a good deal.
When you're trying something new and difficult.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
That you might feel unskilled around.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other thing that occurred to me as you were talking is that as the piano teacher models this behavior in the sense that the piano teacher benefits from that as well.
Everybody benefits.
In the sense
exactly.
that there's no me and you, there's just us.
Exactly.
So I can model accepting you and can accept myself.
So for on two levels. So you're paying me to learn to play the piano
yes.
and you get unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes.
I'm getting paid to teach you to play the piano and I get to receive unconditional love and acceptance.
Win, win, win.
Win, 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 win. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. And the other thing that struck me about her message is she's talking about difficulties with adult beginners.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like kids don't have this. Kids learning to play the piano, for example.
Yes.
Don't struggle with this
well,
the same way.
You know, I'm sure that if she teaches or he teaches people at every level, then there's an awareness of when exactly this is passed on.
Absolutely.
I don't know if three-year-olds can. I've never played the piano. But if three-year-olds can, they probably just go in there with, yes. And then by the time they're five or six, there might be a little more reticence, a little more awareness that I'm good at some things. And not by seven or eight, they're probably pretty entrenched in, I'm either good, I'm not. I've been reinforced that I do everything well, in which case not being able to play the piano would come as a crushing blow. Or, you know, I've been conditioned that, no, I can't do things. And so it would be an interesting study in childhood development. And
exactly.
This is another just little fun thing to know and tell. We can actually see and experience the ages where we were traumatized by the way we relate to children.
Uh-huh.
So a three-year-old comes in, and I can tell how I was parented at age three by the way I react to the child.
Uh-huh.
Is this adorable and you just put everything up so the kid can, you know, make a big playpen out of your house? Or is it, you know, this child needs to learn some
rules.
Rules and regulations.
Discipline.
Yeah. So yes. The piano teacher would have a good opportunity to see, you know, what is it like when a child is four? What level of patience
yes.
and acceptance and understanding do you have? How about six? How about eight? How about 13? How about 17? How about
yes.
35? And it's going to be a different response.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Very different response.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
It is. Good stuff, isn't it?
Yes. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford at 90.1 on the FM dial. You can also listen to us on the internet at kzsulive.stanford.edu. We're taking email questions today. So if you'd like to email us in the future, please send a message to openair@kzsu.org. Sherry, you'll be back on May 27th. We'll be taking live calls again. So save up your questions
yes.
for then and call us at 650-723-9010.
And it's not either or, is it?
It's not either or.
I know when I'm walking around in the world, a lot of things arise that that I might like to discuss with others.
Yes.
And so some of them can be emailed in and then save two or three of them for the call-in show for the next
exactly.
couple of weeks.
Exactly. After our show today, we have the news at 5:40 p.m., followed by Stanford baseball against St. Mary's. And at 10 p.m., the Bot of Euphony will be coming on. We have our next question here, Sherry. Dear Sherry, I get really identified at work. Could you say what identified is for...
Well, I can tell you what I mean by it, by golly. So I'm going along and let's just make it simple. Let's not say I'm going along centered or at one with all that is in the moment. Let's not go that far. However, I am sort of who I think I am. Uh-huh. I'm going along in my usual, yeah, this is me going along through life, and then fill in the self-image, which probably has nothing to do with how I am. But it is the image that I keep of myself.
And that could be successful or not successful. Or
yeah, or a nice person, kind of even keeled. You know, I have my difficulties, but generally, you know, the kind of thing that, you know, yes. If I just said, so, Michael, give me 10 or 15 sentences on what kind of person you are and the kinds of things you would say, you would tell me what your self-image is in those sentences.
Exactly.
And so I'm going along, and then suddenly I'm not me. Now, I may or may not be aware of the fact that I am, and this is, again, in quotes, not me. Maybe I'm kind of intolerant or judgmental, or I'm irritable. Maybe I'm really anxious. I'm upset. Sometimes I can be one of those things and know it. Whoa, what is going on with me? Suddenly I'm really there's that kind of, yes, I'm having this experience and I'm aware of it. Most of the time when we're identified, and I think that's the place this person is talking about, we have no idea. I've just slid off into being this other part of my personality, and I'm completely unconscious of the fact that that's happened.
I see.
Now, everybody around me knows it.
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, but I don't know it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So to continue with the question, dear Sherry, I get really identified at work. I come in and there are so many people and I get really irritable and annoyed. It's a zoo and really tough on someone who craves solitude. I try to suppress these emotions and appear pleasant, but many times I'm silently seething. I compare myself to people at work and come up short. That is stupid. I'm extremely envious of them because they have what I don't, youth and intelligence. I perceive that my boss likes everyone else better than me, and I have trouble relating to him. I don't really like to talk to him because I feel invalidated at the end of the conversation. Yet I'm envious because he seems to talk to everyone else more. Also, I get overwhelmed and feel like I have a ton of things to do and have these obsessive thoughts about what I need to do. The same thoughts over and over about how I have to do task A and then task B, and how much time it will take, and will I be able to leave at a decent time. I tend to work really long hours on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. These thoughts intrude all day and even at home. Meditation helps, and I can disidentify to some extent, but I know these thoughts are useless and intrusive and unhelpful and just get me wound up. There's someone resisting these thoughts. From a Bay Area listener.
Okay. Whew.
Wow.
All right. So this is... this person, I project, okay, now projection, what is projection?
What is projection?
I look inside and say, if I were in that place, what would be going on with me? Mm. And so then I project onto the other person that this is what's going on. The advantage about understanding projection is that the more we accept in ourselves, the more we can see clearly in others. So after we have practiced self-acceptance for a good long while, we can project fairly accurately on other people because we're all alike, right? If we were all terribly different, then it would be hard, but we're not. We're pretty much one person in all these different bodies. So my projection is that this person is mired in what we call plain old, pure old, garden variety self-hatred. And the way that works is that let's go back. Let's go back a little bit. I feel like I'm going to launch into an old Aretha Franklin song way back when.
R-E-S-P-S.
So I have two places from which I can live in life.
Yes.
I can live now, present, here, what we call centered. A part of everything that is conscious, aware, or I can live in what I call egocentric karmic conditioning. Unconscious, feeling separate, alienated, other, isolated, often fearful, well, always fearful, not always aware of it, but always fearful, often angry, unhappy, dissatisfied. So those are the two modes of a human being. And human beings move back and forth between those two modes. I compare it to either two rooms in a house or houses right next door to each other. Yeah. So when I'm here and at center, there's a sense of well-being, often gratitude, happiness, joy, acceptance. Life is exactly the way it is, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong. Exactly. That's a big, big clue. Yeah. So I am the way I am, and that's just fine. I'm not the best human being. I'm not the worst human being. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the stupidest. I'm just a human being. Fine. When I'm identified with conditioning, this is the world of duality. So now I'm the worst, or some days I'm the best, and everybody else is really stupid, or I'm stupid, and it's too hard, and it's not going to work. Suffering, dissatisfaction, misery, something wrong. We live in, out there, we live in something wrong mind. So I project that this person walks into work and becomes identified with something wrong mind, walks into that other house where it's dark and closed and unhappy and miserable, and then lives there listening to the information that sustains that reality till the end of the day. Now, this simply feeds unhappiness. That's all. Now, why would a person want to feed unhappiness? Well, of course, most of us don't want to. It's a habit. It's what we've learned how to do. And what is going on with that is that an identity as a separate self is being maintained. So my way of talking about that, the advantage to being in that place is I am the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. Truly, everything is about me. I'm comparing myself to other people. I'm comparing myself to the boss. I'm projecting from this place of dissatisfaction and unhappiness and misery onto these other people, and then I'm feeling bad. And so the whole world is reduced to what's wrong with me, what's wrong with them, and that's it.
What's wrong?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
So now I'm the center of the universe. I'm a victim. Nothing works. And the advantage of being a victim is that I then get to victimize. So I don't have to be nice, kind, compassionate, understanding, connected. I don't have to make any extra effort. I don't have to do anything because I'm a victim. Okay? Everybody else has it better than I do. So I deserve whatever, fill in the blank.
Yes.
For me, since this is the human condition that we're talking about, I offer people outrageous solutions to this problem.
Outrageous. That's why people listen.
That is exactly right. And so in this case, I would say quit the job.
Wow.
Quit. That's it.
Quit the job.
Yep. I go into work and I am a person who wants to be alone. And I go to work in a place crawling with people. This is not a recipe for success. Okay? So there are a lot of jobs available to somebody who wants to be alone.
Yes.
And they are available because there are not as many people who want to be alone as who want to be around people all the time.
Exactly.
So I find a job that I can do where I am alone. Now, I can tell you what's going to happen. Well, no, I don't want to do that. Okay? I don't want to do that. I want to blah, 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 blah. So The way we can tell when we're identified and when we're listening to that identification is when a solution to the problem is presented, the answer is no. I can't do that. That won't work. I can't do that. Yes. That won't work. Until, well, then what is the solution? Well, there isn't one. And, of course, the person is left there in that suffering,
yes,
miserable victim at the center of the universe.
Right.
So it's very difficult. I mean, it can sound like I'm making light of this or that I don't understand the level of suffering inherent in this. I do understand it. And I have no patience with that egocentric karmic conditioning. None.
Yes.
I have no confusion in this case, which is the authentic person. And which is the conditioning.
Yes.
The conditioning I would take out to the end of the nearest pier and just dump it over. Unfortunately, authentic beings and conditioning inhabit the same body.
Yes,
so we have to be careful about how we deal with conditioning.
Yes.
But that would be my encouragement to anybody caught in this kind of place.
Yes.
Just up the ante. So instead of being tortured by conditioning about this, just say, fine, then I'm going to quit.
Yes.
And just watch conditioning go crazy, because what we have to get is that conditioned voice, that conditioned system wants to keep us in the suffering.
Yes.
That. So once we get that, there's no sense in suffering along with it.
Yes.
So at that point, now, here's the solution. I am all potential. You are all potential. The person writing in is all potential. That's one aspect of the personality, the person who wants to be alone.
Yes.
Find the part of you who loves to be around people.
Yes.
Find the part of you who considers him or herself smart.
Yes.
Find the part of you who wants to socialize with the boss and figures the boss wants to socialize with you.
Yes.
Find those aspects. Don't just turn your life over to this part who wants to live in dissatisfaction and suffering.
Yes.
And it takes work.
Yes.
It's like anything else. You want to stop using heroin? Well, guess what? You don't get to get up in the morning and say, oh, today's the day to quit.
Yes.
You're going to say, this is going to be a battle that is going to take everything I've got.
Yes. Battle royale.
Yes. And I want to do this. I
yes.
want to take this on. I want to quit this. And it has to be approached in exactly the same way.
Yes.
You know, you don't just keep hanging out on the street corner with all the other folks and the needles if you're really serious about breaking this habit. And people stuck in that kind of suffering have to take the same drastic means, measures, steps,
yes.
whatever is the end of that sentence.
To get out of that. Yes.
It's not a casual situation.
Yes.
And I would encourage this person to take it step by step. I want to be a hermit. Okay, good. I'm going to get you a job as a hermit.
Yes.
You know, I don't think I'm as smart as these people. Good. I'm going to get you a job as a night clerk at a 7-Eleven out on the edge of town.
Yes.
Yeah. And just keep pushing it until this person gets it, that this is a system that is designed to fail. It's meant to result in suffering.
Yes.
We just get to the point where Nancy was right. You know, in most cases, I say just say yes. But sometimes you have to just say no.
Just say no.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Michael Gray. I'm the host of the show. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Michael Gray. You're listening to KZSU Stanford at 90.1 on the FM dial. You can catch us on the internet as well at kzsulive.stanford.edu. We're here today doing a special email-only show, and I have another email here.
Wonderful. Since it's a special email-only show.
Given that it's an email-only show.
It's good that we have some more.
It's a good thing. Dear Sherry, you mentioned on one of the radio shows that people sometimes react to your being angry as if you are angry at them when you're really just angry or upset about the situation. I often find that I get upset or angry by things that other people do, such as my boss or my girlfriend, and don't always recognize the larger situation. For example, I was recently upset at my boss because she didn't attend a function that was supposedly important for people in our office and that I had flown across the country to attend.
Oh.
Oh.
Ouch.
It sounds like your version of getting angry was more mature than being upset at what someone did. I really like the sound of avoiding getting upset, though not quite sure how to think about this. Thanks, from a listener in Santa Barbara.
Okay. Now, first of all, I would never idealize not getting upset. Not getting upset, as far as I can tell, is a side effect. Okay.
So, I see.
Yeah. So something happened to me a couple of weeks ago. And so anybody who knows me knows that I have a historically a somewhat volatile personality and a wicked temper. And I've been doing Zen practice for 30 years, so praise be, things have changed a little. Uh-huh. Something happened that was just designed to set me off. And, you know, whoosh came the energy. Uh-huh. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind that I had, as we say, a lot of energy about this. I just said, you know, I'm going to go take a walk, which I did. And I came back later and somebody asked me about it. And I said, well, you know, I just can't get angry like I used to. Oh, darn, what a loss. And it was kind of a surprise because, you know, I was fully prepared to be just, you know, just ranting and raving. And my image is dismantling large buildings with baseball bats. Uh-huh. That's the roar that uh-huh. comes through. So I don't idealize. I want to be Italian. That's, uh-huh. you know, I
use the hands.
Yeah. If I were going to idealize anything, it would be being Italian, you know, and, in fact, I have a friend who's Italian and he and his mother were in the kitchen and, his wife was upstairs, sleeping and she came down and she asked him, what are you and your mother fighting about? And he looked at her like, what? She said, we're not fighting. We're Italian. Yeah. So, you know, why? I mean, you got all this energy. You got all this emotion. You got, why not enjoy all of it? Uh-huh. And I think that what this writer is responding to is that notion that you can have all of that as long as you're not blaming somebody else, as that's the part that people don't respond well to.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, when I've got all this going and I want to make it your fault, I want to point at you and say, my emotion is your fault, you know, you're not going to buy into that, mm-hmm. which you shouldn't. But to have all of that emotion and let that energy come through and not try to squelch it or squash it or control it or depress it, to me is a wonderful, enlivening kind of thing. Oh, yeah. And in my experience, generally speaking, people are all right with it if I'm making it clear that I'm not saying this has anything to do with you. Uh-huh. So it could even be, you know, you got held up watching VH1 and you were an hour and a half late to
yes.
meet me for lunch.
Yes.
And you walk in and say, you know, they had this special on my old favorite star from whatever. And I, you know, I just couldn't leave because it was just too good. And I tried to record, you know, and I'm going to go because I've been sitting there waiting for an hour and a half. And you left me sitting here to watch a television show, okay? How do I get there? All right, because it wasn't my television show. It wasn't my favorite. It wasn't
yes.
anything I wanted to do,
yes.
which is a really key, important part of human relationships, okay? If it's something you want and I don't care about it, I don't get it. If it's something I want, I can't understand why you don't care about
yes.
it. Okay? So we're all there. So, rah, 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 and I can even be saying, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm just saying I'm really upset because I sat here and I expected you and I had other things that I could have been doing. And actually, I'm really angry with myself for sitting here for an hour and a half waiting for you. Why didn't I get up and go do something? You know,
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes.
Now, you will probably take it personally because you feel bad and guilty. Right, because as soon as you came to and went, oh dear, this might not have been the wisest call of my life. So you're ready for me to be angry and upset, and you're ready to take it on, feel bad and guilty, or be defensive, or whatever is your mode for surviving with that. But if I can stay with it, if I can stay with, no, this is not about you. I'm not saying anything other than this is how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Then after a while, you can go, oh, okay, well, that's just how she's feeling. So I don't need to fix it or change it or do anything about it or.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just how she's feeling. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then after, you know, I've ranted and raved and the volcano seems to be winding down, you can, you know, you might even take the opportunity to talk about how you feel about it.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. It's called compassion and understanding and communication.
Yes.
And. Yes. Like that. So I would project with the writer. I always want to say the caller, but they're not callers. They're writers. With the writer, this is what would be motivating me with the boss flying across the country uh-huh. thing. I probably didn't want to fly across the country to this event, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody who is really key to the whole thing doesn't bother to attend.
Uh-huh. So I made the commitment and the other person didn't.
Yeah, I made this huge effort, fly across the country. I know, I'm getting ready to do it tomorrow. It's a big deal. And this person didn't even bother to make the, you know. So it's, you know, why do we care so much when people cut in line in front of us? Because we want to all go up to the front of the line.
Yes.
Right? But we don't.
Yes.
We restrain ourselves. We're grown-ups.
Yes.
And then somebody cuts in line and we just want to kill them. You know, every time we stop ourselves from what we want to do and then someone else goes ahead and does that, it just makes us crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I was thinking as you were talking about being angry, that if you're angry and you make it clear to me that it's not about me, then I can pay attention because I don't need to go into defense and survival.
Yes.
It was like, wow, I could learn something about you and how you are and how you react. And
yes, which in a situation like that is really intelligent. You know, the person who tries to get defensive or blame or do any of those kinds of things is going to be in big trouble, depending on the level of anger or upset this person has. But to be willing to listen and to take that in and be able to agree, because, you know, something like upset is a really good word for it rather than anger.
Yes.
Because what I'm feeling, what the writer is feeling in those circumstances is not just anger. It's disappointment. It's hurt feelings. It's, it's the memory of all of the other things that didn't go well and the other times that I felt taken advantage of and where I didn't stand up for myself. I mean, it's just such a can of worms.
Exactly.
And so to be able to open that up and talk about it, and even if there's a lot of emotion with it, and bring some clarity to it, it's very helpful. It's helpful for the one having the experience. If there's somebody else involved and they're open and willing, it can be very helpful for them too.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Wow. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Some great stuff. Talking about anger. Talking about self-hatred. We're getting close to the end of our show here. Let's run to another email here.
All right.
Hi, I'm wondering if you would expand on the statements that I've read in your books about the differing goals of psychotherapy and Zen. I've believed that the development of, quote, the self in, for example, Jungian psychotherapy was analogous to, quote, the realization of the one in Zen. You've stated that maybe therapy and Zen are not compatible. Could you amplify on that from a listener in Colorado?
Well, certainly. Now, there's something interesting in that. I think the phrasing was the development of the self is analogous to the realization of the one.
Yes.
I find that sentence fascinating because to me, development and realization are never going to be analogous.
Uh-huh.
So that's one piece of it. And, of course, there are all kinds of therapy. And therapy, many of us have noticed, has changed a great deal over time.
Yes.
There's a tremendous movement in psychotherapy and Eastern philosophy or psychology toward one another. And this is very good. So what are we talking about when we talk about psychotherapy? Now, when I was in the monastery where I trained, my teacher would not work with anyone who was in therapy. And what he said was, I spend my time trying to get them to let go of the ego, and then they go to therapy to have it put back together. And if it is that kind of process, I do think it is incompatible. If it is a process where the person is looking inward is learning to go beyond beliefs and assumptions, learning to see a broader perspective than the conditioned reality, then I would wonder at what point it ceases to be psychotherapy and turns into awareness practice.
Yes.
So, you know, people will say to me, whew, this stuff that you do is seriously psychological. Are you a therapist? Is that, you know, you're a therapist with an interest in Zen? And no, I've never studied any kind of therapy. And I've worked with a lot of people, and I watch how people operate. And through my own awareness practice, through my own sitting, I watch how this human being operates.
How you operate.
How I operate. And so I can have these awarenesses and offer these perspectives, and people will say, but that's psychology. Well, no, it's not. It's Zen. It's Zen practice. So the person who is doing psychology and they have slid over into awareness practice, and somebody says, well, isn't that Zen, or isn't that Buddhism, or isn't that whatever? And they say, no, it's psychotherapy, because that's what I'm doing. Now, my teacher used to say, you know, if it's water, it's water in Colorado, it's water in Afghanistan, it's water in China, it's water.
Yes.
And so you can call it all different kinds of things. But when you're thirsty, it's the best thing to drink. So
yes.
Yeah. To me, it's not so much, you know, we really do have to get past the label and see, what are we actually talking about here? How are we doing this? And what is the goal? If the goal is to make me fit more happily into society, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Then you can give me drugs. You can disabuse me of any ideas that I'm holding that are not in keeping with fitting normally into society. Okay, that would be one approach. If it is to transcend all limitations and drop the notion of being separate from life, well, that's a different deal.
Yes, yes. Wow, we've come to the end of our hour here.
So quick.
Great stuff. Sherry, do you have some homework for our listeners for next week?
Well, yes.
Based on our show today.
Yeah, I think last week, now we were looking at saying yes.
Exactly.
Weren't we? So this week, it might be kind of fun to see if it's possible to tell when you've shifted from one way of being to another way of being.
Wow.
My biggest hint on that is listen to what you're saying and see if you can get a sense of who's talking.
Wow. So getting a sense of when I'm identified and when I'm not identified.
Yeah, when are you being your regular, yes, this is who I am, and when have you slid into another way of being, another person?
Right. Mm-hmm. And there could be multiple.
Ooh, yes.
Of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, throughout the day, yes.
Yes.
So just check in, you know, check in when you first get up, check in on your way to work, check in a meeting, check in lunch with a friend, check in, you know, whatever your day is like.
Exactly.
Just check in, 10, 2, and 4. You know, that kind of pick times and just check in and just see if you can get a sense of who's here. You know, what am I projecting?
Yes.
Onto myself, onto life, onto what am I talking about? What am I saying? Who am
Great.
I?
Great.
Who am I? Yeah.
And we want to hear from people.
Oh, we definitely want to hear. This homework is not like these emails where it just goes out into the void.
Yes. So give us a call. Sherry will be back here taking live calls on Tuesday, May 27th.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Great. And in the meantime, send us emails at openair@kzsu.org. Sherry has a website, which is sherryhuber.com. Coming up next, we have the news at 5:40 p.m., Stanford baseball against St. Mary's, and the Bot of Euphony at 10 p.m. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.